And I believe I have with us Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
I am good. Baruch Hashem.
Thank God. Good. So it's nice to be back on.
It's nice to be back
for
on.
For me, I mean.
Yeah, you were in New York.
I was in New York last week.
Yeah.
Went in for my nephew's bar mitzvah.
Mazel tov.
Which is always nice. But, you know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this. I'm flying in, and I have the day over here. It's so cold. It's okay. It's freezing cold, but no snow and everything. New York, snow and blowing snow. And whoever has gone into LaGuardia Airport, it's a nightmare, especially with all the construction.
Yeah.
So we're delayed 2 hours because they closed the runway there, and then they open and close. Who knows? Anyway. So I was thinking, I said, you know, the bar mitzvah starts at 8 o'clock. I got only to the bar mitzvah at 9:30 after I got a car and all that. Said, what was Hashem's reasoning for this? What? But I don't have an answer yet, but obviously there was a reason for something, and I'm hopefully either it will be revealed to me or it won't be revealed to me. But, you know, sometimes as normal human beings, we ask the question, we say, well, why? What's the point?
Yeah.
But that's the way life goes on, and it's interesting because in this week's Torah portion, which is Parshat Truma, we talk about the concept that on the summit of Mount Sinai, Moses is given detailed instructions of how to construct this dwelling place for God so it could be rapidly dismantled, transported, reassembled as a people journey in the desert. So we've never been accustomed to just sitting and staying in one place. We're constantly on the move. And why things are happening and how things are happening, we don't necessarily always have the answer. And they're also called upon to contribute 30 materials of gold, silver, copper, blue, purple, so on and so forth, which that is what they're going to make the sanctuary for God in that. And we also see how we talked about, you know, the in the sanctuary, in the chamber, this is what's going to be. And then you have in the outer chamber, so the seven-branched menorah and the table upon which the showbread, the lechem hapanim, was arranged. And it's interesting because, as we just said, one of the essential vessels in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, and then later, obviously, in the Beit HaMikdash, was the Shulchan, the table.
Yeah.
On it was placed the 12 loaves of bread, which popularly most people know it as the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread. Now, something interesting with them is that they were baked fresh on Friday. And every Shabbat, the old loaves on the tables were removed and replaced by the new set of loaves. In other words, a week later. And it is commonly accepted by all the commentators and by all the interpretations of the Torah that fresh bread or any, you know, specifically the fresh bread, the bread that was made by the Lechem HaPanim that was on the table was fresh from week to week. But most people, you and I, when you think of something that is fresh bread, you think of bread that is baked today.
Yeah.
And once it becomes a day old, you go to any bakery, it's sold at a reduced price. And if it didn't sell within the second day, it is discarded since it's unlikely anyone's going to buy it and could be even moldy or stale. But our sages tell us that these loaves, which were distributed among the Kohanim, the Kohen, 9 days after they were baking, after they baked, were miraculously as fresh as if they were just made today. Which is something very, very interesting. Now, a person's going to ask, well, how do I receive that bracha? How do I make that something that I put effort into, or something that I enjoy doing, can be as fresh can be as interesting every single day as though it's just the first time I'm ever doing it. Because we always have the question, you keep doing a mitzvah, keep doing a commandment, day after day after day. After a while, it starts to become a little stale, you know? It's not fresh, it's not, you know, when you get, you know, you get a new car, you're all excited, everything is great, you know, after a few weeks, a few months, routine. Yeah, it's not. So in order for us to be able to receive and to constantly have that bracha, I remember I was reading, there was once a story of a chassid, of a disciple, of the previous Chabad Lubavitcher rabbi, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson, who once wrote a letter to his son-in-law, his successor, who was the Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, who took over the leadership in 1951. And there was once a disciple of the of his father-in-law, the previous one, the sixth one, and wrote it to the Rebbe. And he said, and he in that letter, he bemoaned the fact that he had received a blessing from the Rebbe's father-in-law. And to his dismay and to his disturbance and to his sadness, it was never realized. It never came into fruition. And he was upset. He was sad. And the Rebbe responded to him and he said, a bracha, a blessing, is like rain. For a good harvest, rain is a dire necessity. However, rain alone, without an investment of effort on the part of the farmers to plow and seed the field, will yield nothing. Nothing will happen. So to merit the bracha of achieving the lechem apanim quality of the freshness, we have to apply in practice the message of the lechem apanim. And what is the message of the lechem apanim? What is the message of the loaves of bread of the bread on the table? And according to the Gemara, these breads were not the loaves that we were accustomed to. They were really U-shaped, like a square U, an open box with two sides removed. So what's the significance of the way that the bread was shaped? Why did God instruct that these strange-looking loaves be placed on the Shulchan? It could be, you know, just regular loaves that we're accustomed to.
Yeah.
And really, the table, the Shulchan, represents the mitzvah of hospitality and feeding the needy. Unfortunately, often when a person is blessed and has everything that they need, they are insensitive to the needs of others. Their success and wealth prevent them from seeing the needs of the poor. And the Torah therefore prescribes that the bread on the table be U-shaped. While a normal loaf of bread is a solid, opaque mass, one can look through the hollow, the emptiness of the lechem apanim loaf, of the bread. And this suggests that one's bread, in other words, one's success, should not block one's vision. Now, this not only applies